That music means it is a Tech Tuesday, Bill. And on the line with us from CNET is Ian Schur, executive editor at CNET, CNET.com. Ian, what's going on in the tech world? There's quite a lot of it going on today.
Oh, my gosh. It just feels like it's a nonstop torrent of stuff coming from the tech world every day.
All right. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I think CNET had a really great exclusive interview with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. And the reason that I went up there with our editor-in-chief, Connie Guglielmo, we went up to Washington and met with him and saw what he's doing because Microsoft is trying to become a different company. You know, you may think of Microsoft as that company that makes the software that you have to use, right, your Word, Excel, and PowerPoint when you're at work, or maybe the Windows machine at your office. What they are trying to do is they are trying to revamp themselves and really become much more of a company that you enjoy using, that you enjoy using their stuff, and that you actually want to actually look to them as a as an innovator. And that's actually a lot harder than it seems, because the company had become very aggressive, had become very tough to work with for a long time, and they had been in some ways resting on their laurels. And now they seem to be changing things 4 years into this new CEO's reign.
And what will we see? Because is it trying to be hipper, or what is it trying to do?
You know, it's funny, actually, Nadella says that he is proud to be not cool, right? Which is so un-Silicon Valley of him. But, you know, I think that what's going to happen is that you are going to end up using a lot more Microsoft products, even though you don't know it. One of the things that Microsoft has really struggled to do is convince Silicon Valley that it's valuable what it does. You know, a lot of Silicon Valley uses Apple computers. A lot of Silicon Valley uses Amazon servers and Amazon stuff. And they avoid Microsoft almost because they're all angry at it for the way it behaved back in the 90s and the aughts. And so now the company is really trying to turn that around and say, look, we have our advanced artificial intelligence technology. We are able to protect your information and make sure that it's not hacked from Russians. We're able to do all these other things that you need anyway. So why not work with us more? And I think that that's a very different strategy than what it was back, you know, a couple of decades ago, where they owned the world because they had a monopolistic hold on it all, and they were able to control the direction of the tech industry. They definitely don't now, but they want to have at least a voice in it.
And speaking of hacks, you know, the Russians have, it's been, I think, proven that they have hacked into some of our stuff. But what happened when President Obama was in office? Did he put up some security?
You know, it's really fascinating. Obama, we found out with another story on CNET that we actually learned the way that the Obama campaign kept itself from being hacked. And what it was that they used these little security keys. And it's really fascinating. They're little things that kind of plug into your USB port. So you might have a USB stick that you carry around that you shuffle files around. Well, imagine one of those that only does security. So you go to a website, you go to your email, you type in your name and then your password. And then it says, okay, plug in your little key. And when you do that, only then will it let you in. And if you don't have that key, you're not able to get into your email. And they say that is what kept them from getting hacked in 2008 and 2012. They also point out that the Democratic nominee and for president in 2016, right, Hillary Clinton, did not use this tough security. And obviously we learned how all that played out. So it was a good lesson for a lot of us that, you know, a lot of basic security can do a lot of good. And by the way, our banks, our Facebooks, our Twitters all offer equivalent stuff where they send you a text message with a code or whatever. So you can turn that stuff on for yourself today and protect yourself really a lot from being hacked just by using that kind of technology.
Ian, let's go to the InfoWars story. A little background. There's a guy named Alex Jones who seems like a fun guy. Seems like he's very easygoing, good to hang out with. He's had some videos that have been banned from Facebook, from Twitter, from YouTube. Where does that stand?
Well, so it's worth noting that Alex Jones, not just being a fun guy, he actually makes a living by attacking victims of mass shootings.
Yeah.
He actually has claimed that the children who died at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012 were not real, that they were a government hoax.
Right.
And people have gone and made death threats to the families who are grieving. The New York Times actually profiled one family who can't even live near their child's grave because they get harassed so much. Can you imagine that?
No.
So Alex Jones was kicked off of all of these social networks. You know, they were kicked off of Facebook. He was kicked off of YouTube. He wasn't allowed to use Apple Podcasts anymore. But Twitter would allow him to continue. And they have steadfastly said, look, we're not going to kick him off because the rest of the tech industry does. And it's been a really fascinating debate that Twitter has created by saying, look, you know, we value free speech, which, of course, all of us do. But the question is, when you deal with people like Alex Jones, who's been warned multiple times that you can't act this way on social networks, is against their rules, that when he continues to do that and act in bad faith, how is it okay to continue to let him behave? And that is where we are right now, is that there's this massive debate. And you saw over the weekend, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, tweeted about how he's concerned Silicon Valley is silencing conservative voices. So it's not just Alex Jones anymore. Now people are defending Alex Jones, despite all the terrible things he's done to shooting victims, saying that his right to free speech should not be impinged.
Well, the president is a huge fan of Alex Jones's and has appeared on the show. So I understand him giving him his support. I mean, that's no surprise.
The Twitter CEO, if, you know, they go against it, they lose their biggest tweeter, which is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
There definitely is. You could make an argument that there's a business reason why they're doing this. But look, the last thing Twitter needs at this point is to continue to be seen as a place that's full of harassment and trolls and bad behavior. It's bad enough for them already. They're not growing anymore. And they, in capitalism, you have to grow to succeed. So at one point, they need to turn this around, or they're going to deal with much larger issues going forward.
Right. Wendy, could you say that President Trump is the world's biggest tweeter again? That was my favorite part of the show so far.
Tweeter, tweeter, tweeter. All right. Well, we got a lot going on. You can find out more at CNET.com. I punch it up very frequently. Ian Schur, executive editor at CNET. Thank you so much on this Tech Tuesday. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, Ian. Ian Schur, everybody. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.